Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia, this is The Bright Side with Technisha.
A daily broadcast on real-life issues that will keep you motivated.
And now, here's your host, Technisha.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today is April 18th, 2014, and you're tuning to another episode of The Bright Side with Technisha. Sorry I wasn't on my regular time, had a family emergency. But anyhow, on the line today with me is Dr. Frank Weinstock. He is a board-certified ophthalmologist and American College of Surgeons fellow. He is a distinguished professor at NeoMed, an affiliate clinical professor in the Charles E. Smyth College of Biomedical Science at Florida Atlantic University and volunteer professor of ophthalmology at the University of Miami, Leonard M. Miller School of Medicine. Good afternoon, Dr. Weinstock. How are you today?
Okay. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderful. Sorry about earlier. Oh, I tell you, things, you don't want stuff to happen, but it looks like it does.
I hope it's not too bad.
It's not, but I'm glad to have you on the show. And I found your book very interesting. I meant to mention, listeners, he's the author of I've Been Thinking, and It Might Save Your Life and Vision. This is his 10th book. He has wrote so many medical books. They're very interesting, but they're also helpful, too. So, Frank, let's first start off. What made you want to write this book?
Well, I have been writing for the medical profession as well as to the lay public for years, and ophthalmology and eyes, that part of it, is poorly understood by non-ophthalmic physicians and very poorly understood by patients. Eyes are complicated. So what I did, the other aspect is just dealing with the healthcare system. I get lots of questions from patients, friends, people I see, all over about, I'm having a problem finding a physician. I'm having a problem. My doctor won't talk to me. So I put all that together. I said, well, let's put it in a book form. And here I am.
I know, because like chapter 11, where you were speaking on medical costs, how do you know? And that's the thing. When you go to the doctor, you don't know how much they're going to really charge you. For instance, when I went to the doctor because I had a something, I forgot what it was called, appendicitis. That's right. I had appendicitis. And, of course, they come in, check, ask you a few questions, bam, it looks like the wait time takes forever for them to see you. But when they come and see you, it takes like 2 minutes. And then all of a sudden, you get a bill from the doctor, then you get a hospital bill. I'm looking at $900. I'm like, really? Like, this doesn't make any sense. I don't understand.
Well, the whole cost structure doesn't make sense, particularly when you're in the Medicare area. We have to bill you at a certain amount, then the government pays us back at another amount. And it's very difficult to understand. And the person who does not have insurance, person who is poor, they're supposed to pay the full fare without a discount. That's logical.
But it's just so sad because that makes people afraid. It makes people afraid to even want to go to the doctor because you're afraid to get the high bill. And even with this Obamacare, my God, and if you don't get that, then they want to charge you a penalty for that. So, there's a lot of arguments since it's been on debate with Obamacare since it's been out.
And I've spoken to a number of people recently who have come up to me and spoken about it and say, our premiums are less than I ever had before. And I'm getting more coverage. So there's a variation. And, of course, the tremendous numbers that have signed up for so-called Obamacare. But it's basically insurance. And we went through this when Medicare started. People's doctors said, I will never take any Medicare money. Then they found any government money. Then they find out how much there was, and they got in at wholesale and wanted to participate. Just about everyone participates in Medicare because basically, we're better off as physicians. Mm-hmm. You get paid, and you get paid very reliable. They've cut our fees. That's a fact. But it's very reliable. The checks come through regularly. Very easy to bill Medicare. It's really turned out to be a wonderful system. And over the years, and the so-called Obamacare will do the same thing.
Yeah. And then when you really think about it, though, and overall due respect, I know it might be costly, and yes, you do have to pay deductibles because I'm with Kaiser Permanente, but your health is more important because that years later on down the road, you're going to have to end up paying for that when you really get down sick. So, people, it's just best. And if you work in these jobs, take advantage of the health care. That's what I do at the Marriott, because by me working for Marriott, I take advantage of everything. Dentist, the health, whatever they can throw at me, I'm going to do. But
yeah, that's what insurance is for. And insurance is not necessarily to pay everything. It depends what you pay for it to get it. So if you want a no-deductible insurance plan, it's a lot more expensive, and it's a gamble which way you're better off from that standpoint.
But Doc, but Frank, when you're going across seas, what is it like with the health care? Is it more costly?
When you're going where?
When you're going across sea, overseas. Or like, for instance, some people need to move to Paris or Germany. Would it be more costly than if you're not in the United States?
I'm not an expert on this. I believe so. From stories I hear, that I had a relative over in France. She had a problem. The French government came in, got her back to the airport. She flew back to the United States. Didn't charge her anything. But, you know, with true socialized medicine, which we're getting to, they take care of most of the fees.
Okay. Now, also, well, what do you think people will find out in here? How would this help navigate people to see about themselves, though?
Well, there are two aspects of the book, and the book's available through either Amazon.com or TriMark Publishers.com. But there are two aspects. One half of it is about eyes and the things that affect all of us, cataracts, glaucoma, macular degeneration, and on and on. And the other aspect, just dealing with the system. How do I find a physician? My physician won't talk to me. What do I do about it? And how to interact in those situations. And we all deal with the health system. And as I said, sometimes you can't pay the fee. What do? In our office, if you couldn't pay the fee, we would talk to you about it. And the important thing is to get you the care. That's the most important thing, not my fee. So we would see people when necessary for nothing, if they really couldn't pay anything else. Most people want to pay something. So we would often let a patient set their own fee.
Yeah. And then, when it comes to that, you just have to do your research, because most things will not be covered. Because my daughters, they have Peach Care, and certain hospitals do not accept Peach Care because I think it's becoming a old form of method for most of them. But you just have to find out who will take care of you. And when you do get insurance, see what it actually covers. Because you don't want to end up years later, you might need a transplant or something, and it's not covered by your insurance. So those are things that people have to really think about. You just don't go out and just get it. Do everything, research. Because when you go, you don't want your lip poked out. Oh, I didn't know this wasn't covered. Oh, now I'm mad. No, you got to be mad with yourself because you didn't do your homework.
That's it. Do your homework. And,
yes.
But it's expensive. Everyone realizes that. But you can't afford to go without some type of insurance.
You can't. And it's really a privilege to have health care. It's not a right to me. It's a privilege only for those with the means to pay. But, you know, I know it sounds confusing and scary, but like you said, it is costly. But you think about your health. That's another thing. You don't want to be down the road. Yeah.
There are plans out there, and we're having in about 20 states. The states have refused to take Medicaid money. What's happening to all these people that aren't going to get care? And I don't understand how the states can have a conscience to refuse money. And one of the excuses is to say, well, in a few years it's going to cost us more. How many people have to die in the meantime because they don't have insurance? When it's available, take advantage of it.
Yeah, because that's what my husband has. He has Medicare.
Well, I was mentioning Medicaid, Medicare is a, I don't know anyone, I speak to a lot of people who say, I will not, I don't want any government handouts or anything. I say, will you give up your Medicare? No, no. Medicare is one of the greatest things that happened to senior citizens.
No, they're not going to give it up, Frank. No. I said that, too. When I was used to get food stamps, they used to make me mad because every time you turn around, you got to turn this document, that document. But when you think about it, no. I don't want sometimes the government assistance, but if it's helpful, yes, I will take it. I sure will.
Sure.
Yeah. But now when you go into the doctor, Frank, should you have an advocate with you, a spouse or granddaughter, anybody?
Well, one of the problems is when you come in, go to see a doctor, have an operation, doctor comes in and talks to you, you're upset, you're nervous, and you don't hear half the things that are said. So you should have someone that goes with you, even if you think you're calm. I had surgery a number of months ago. My wife was there. She spoke to the doctor, to the assistant, because I didn't remember what was going on. I had medication and all. So that person should be somewhat informed, be able to answer questions, and the doctor tells you, you need this, that, you need an x-ray. Make plans for it. People just don't hear a lot of what is said. They did a study a few years ago where they recorded what doctors said to patients. Half the patients said, they said the doctor never even spoke to me. So people are nervous about their health, and we want to get them the best health they can.
But growing up, I didn't figure that I needed that. I mean, yeah, you go to the doctor, you have your little checkups, especially at a young age. But I guess now times are really changing, and you do need somebody there with you. Plus today, really, hospitals are really getting busy, and that's a hurry business.
And they should, the advocate can ask the doctor, write down what the instructions are for this medication.
Yeah.
Roughly half the people don't get their prescriptions filled or don't take their medicines correctly, partly because it's not explained clearly to them, so they realize how important it is to take the medications.
Oh, yes. Because we got to remember now, some of the medication errors, they can kill even the young and healthy patients. So I just, basically, this is what I would love to tell people. Don't let your ego get in the way of your safety and health. Don't.
You got to
on your side, that's the best, because it might just save your life. So just use your common sense. That will actually save your life. But now, I would love to get into the fact of, because I hear ophthalmology, you hear
optometrist and ophthalmologist.
I've said these medical terms and optician. What is the difference between all three of those?
Well, there's dealing with eyes involves exams, treatment, and glasses. Making it easy, the optician handles the glasses. He or she is not a physician, but they have had training in how to measure your eyes for the correct glasses. If the glasses are set too far apart or too close, you're not going to see well out of them. They take the prescription, the numbers and the strength of the glasses or contact lenses and put them into a frame or into contact lenses. And that prescription comes from either an optometrist or an ophthalmologist. An optometrist is not a medical doctor, but the optometrist will examine you for glasses, treat you, and some eye diseases, depending upon the state in which you live, they don't perform surgery, and optometrists and ophthalmology officers, they usually provide glasses, also sell them fit contact lenses. The ophthalmologist is a medical doctor. We've gone through 4 years of medical school, 3 or 4 years of what we call a residency or training program, just in the eyes, dealing with treatment and diagnosis of diseases as well as surgery of the eye. And there may be specialists in ophthalmology or optometry in glaucoma, contact lenses, or retinal diseases. But basically, the ophthalmologist is a medical physician or doctor of osteopathy. The optometrist is trained in optometry, the non-medical portion. The optician is not a optometrist or an ophthalmologist. He or she fits, measures, and fits the glasses.
Okay. Does it? But now, how do you know if you really need to see an ophthalmologist?
How do you know if you see an ophthalmologist? First
Sir.
Of all, you got to make an appointment. And
okay.
If you don't know what I am, look it up. Start with the phone book, and that usually tells whether we're physicians or not. And now, a significant number of physicians and optometrists, as well as opticians, have web pages. And on that web page, it usually tells you what my training was. Did
okay.
I go to medical school? Did I go to it? So that information's out there. Yeah, we have to look a little for it.
Okay. Now, also, most of the time, you know, you have the good vision and everything, but what caused people to start losing their sight, actually going blind? Because some people are born blind, but some actually, years later, they end up becoming blind.
Fortunately, most people don't go blind. And in the book, I've been thinking, we talk about a couple of conditions. The cataract is the cloudiness of the lens in our eyes. Most people don't have much disruption of vision, but when the vision gets bad, then we fix it by taking out the cataract, putting an implant. There are other conditions like glaucoma, which in the early stages we can treat and prevent any loss of vision, but in late stages a certain number of people, especially African Americans, will go blind, which is very unfortunate because it's often totally preventable. The other aspect of very common loss of vision or blindness is diabetes. Most people with diabetes, if they keep it under control, don't have vision problems. But if you don't keep your diabetes under control, which is unfortunately very common, then you can end up with bleeding in the eye and other changes that cause you to lose your vision. Then there's disease called macular degeneration, which affects a lot of people. Most people don't have real bad problems, but if it goes to the point of causing blindness, there basically is no treatment at this time. We are using special medications, making some inroads periodically, but still a lot has to be done. But most blindness is preventable.
Okay. Yeah, and speaking of the macular degeneration, that's what I was reading up on this past week about tobacco chemicals can actually damage the blood vessels behind your eyes and increase that risk of developing a macular degeneration. So if you're a smoker, try to be careful. Just stop.
You've got it. You're way ahead of the pack. Smoking can cause a lot of problems in the eye as well as in the lung and other parts of the body.
Oh, I tell you, you really don't be thinking about all this stuff that well, like they always say, every part of your body is connected. I think one of my coworkers told me, she said, it was something, Frank, I think your hand connected to the foot or something like that. And I was like, wow, that's
amazing
how everything is connected. If something's hurting in one spot, then that means something's not right in the other spot. So you just have to take care of your body.
Conditions like diabetes that can affect your toes, your feet, your heart, your lungs, everything.
So, Frank, what suggestions would you give people to even begin to take care of themselves better? Besides, we know to start off, try to eat healthy. I mean, really try. That's hard for
people. Yeah, those are the things that are in the book I've been thinking. And the thing is, think about yourself. Think about your health.
Yeah.
Be aware of it. Read the newspapers, articles, shows like yours, where you can learn more about your body. And be aware of your body so you notice that there are changes. If your vision starts getting poor, go see ophthalmologists and optometrists and say, I'm having trouble seeing. Fortunately, most of the time, it's because you need new glasses. But at times, it is due to diseases that are treatable. And that's with the body, too. Oh, you're having a little trouble walking. It could be something in your feet, or maybe you're developing some heart problems. So you have to be aware of your body and look for the best care and find good people to take care of you that you have confidence in.
Yes, and Anne Frank's book, you will find all that, how to take care of your eyes, medicines, the health care, questions to ask. This is a great, Frank, this, I think this is a great book. It's so informative. It's not just one book. Oh, I'm just going to read it and just put it down. This book really makes you think and give you the right decisions to make. You got to make sure that you pick the right physician. Make sure they're not going on vacation, as you said. So just things that you have to really look into. Oh, one more question I want to ask, Frank, about how does normal vision develop? Because that was an inquiring question on my mind.
Okay. And I'm just going to emphasize that the book is Eyes Been Thinking, that available at Amazon.com, PrimarkPress.com. But as far as normal vision, the eye starts out and a little baby doesn't see a lot, sees shadows. But slowly the nerves develop in the eye, behind the eye, they go to the brain, and the eye, the lens develops. And it's a stepwise progression that hopefully by 6-8 years of age, your eye doesn't change shape much when you get older. But hopefully the vision develops, you know, the little baby can all of a sudden see light, can follow some objects, and it progressively gets better because of connections into the brain. So if you have a child or anyone that doesn't seem to, assume you have good vision, doesn't seem to notice things or see as well as you do, get some help about it. Don't be afraid to. The earlier diagnosed diseases, the greater the chance that we can correct them.
Well, Frank, I do appreciate you for giving us all this informative information. This is enough, and people, please pick up this book today. I've Been Thinking, and it might save your life and vision. As he says, on Amazon. Also, Frank, give us your website just in case if anybody wants to get in contact with you.
Dr. Frank Weinstock, weinstock.com. It's on, have a page on Facebook where you can get that, see what's going on. Get new articles that I have, may have written or interesting things from the newspapers that I might see. And I appreciate your interest in the eyes, and hopefully some people will be helped.
I hope so, too. And thank you for being a guest on the Bright Side with Technician. You have a blessed one, Frank.
Okay, thanks. Frank, for the interest. And a pleasure. Bye.
You. Bye-bye. Well, everyone, I hope you do take care of your eyes. It's the most important thing to keep your vision going. But also another vision that you can use is your mind, too, and be smart. So please, as I said before, pick up the book. Let's be wise with our health. It's no joke. We're declining rapidly in their health-wise because we're too afraid to step up to the plate. Take advantage of the plans that you have on your job. Those are there for a reason. Don't let it slip by you. Don't be scared. Find out what's going on with your body. You don't want to wait years later and say, oh, I didn't know this was happening, and now you got cancer or something like that. So let's just be wise. But I was looking from a little paper. Because tomorrow on, I will have, I will have Miss January Jones tomorrow, actually Miss Diane Teagarden. Now, I know Diane Teagarden will be talking about couples and finances, basically how how to keep your relationship going by not having the finance problems, because that's a lot of times that's the number one reason why we have a lot of divorces. And January Jones, let me see, she will be talking about, give me 1 second, because I try to keep all my information together, guys. So let me see, January Jones will be talking about, you could tell, see, yes, that's right, your host. Got a little off track. I do apologize. Let me see. let's see, January Jones. Oh, she will be talking about different success stories on courtships, relationships-wise. So that should be a very good, interesting topic for some of you. So I hope that many of my listeners do tune in tomorrow, and I will be on time. But thank you for tuning in, and I will see you guys tomorrow. And God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to The Bright Side with Tanisha.
Come back daily from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern.
God bless.